In the brand new book, Dear Bi Men, author, peer counselor, and creator of the hashtag Bisexual Men Speak, J.R. Youssef offers an unapologetic guide for readers who are Black, Mask, and Bi. The book features cutting social analysis, personal stories, and reclaims Bi plus visibility in a culture of erasure. It also offers practical feedback on how to unlearn internalized biphobia and homophobia, fight back against erasure and stigma, navigate sex, dating, partnerships, marriage, friendship, and much more. It's available now wherever books are sold. North Atlantic Books is offering listeners 25% off plus free shipping. Purchase Dear Bi Men at www.northatlanticbooks.com and use code CURIOUS25 at checkout for 25% off and free shipping. U.S. mailing address required. Hey, it's Jonathan Van Ness. Americans United for Separation of Church and State defends your freedom to live as yourself and believe as you choose, so long as you don't harm others. Core freedoms like abortion rights, marriage equality, public education, and even American democracy itself rest upon the wall of separation between church and state. Christian nationalists are attacking these freedoms, seeking to force us all to live by their narrow beliefs. Americans United is fighting back. Freedom without favor and equality without exception. Learn more about AU at au.org/curious.
Darling, I was on a vacation recently and stayed at an Airbnb, and then I realized that while I was away, my empty house could be making money, honey. If you're someone like me that is busy and not home all the time, your home could be an Airbnb, and it's actually pretty simple to get started. Even if you don't have a whole house, you could start with just a spare room. Personally, I really enjoy staying at Airbnbs. I really do. I love a good Airbnb. Who is that? Come back, British you. And it really is a great way to like support local economy and support local people. So Airbnb is fabulous. And I know I was doing my British voice earlier, but we love Airbnb. So think about what you could do with some extra cash, whether you're looking to treat yourself to something nice, like a shopping spree or a spa day, or start a whole side hustle. Airbnb can help you be that person. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome to Getting Curious. I'm Jonathan Van Ness, and every week I sit down for a gorgeous conversation with a brilliant expert to learn all about something that makes me curious. On today's episode, I'm joined by Secretary Miguel Cardona, where I ask him, how can we make the grade on U.S. education?
Welcome to Getting Curious. This is Jonathan Van Ness. I'm so excited to welcome you to this episode. I'm pretty sure this is a first for us because we've interviewed cabinet members before, but they were like, no offense to them because we love them, but they were former cabinet members. I think you're our first sitting a cabinet member ever. Welcome to the show, Secretary Miguel Cardona, who is the Secretary of Education. And in fact, you're the country's 12th. Who knew?
Isn't that something? Glad to be with you. Thanks for having me.
This is kind of our guiding question for today, because every episode of Getting Curious, there's always kind of a different question. I know you don't have time to like sit around and listen to Getting Curious. You're literally busy running the Department of Education. But what our question is today is, how can we make the grade on U.S. education? We just want to understand the Department of Education. We want to understand how it works. We want to understand how it interacts in our daily lives. But first, like literally, how are you? I mean, I'm sure there's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on, but I'm excited. I am doing well. We have a tremendous team here. You know, we have educators across the country that are ready to roll up their sleeves and help kids. And that's inspiring. Yes, we have challenges. Yes, we have a lot of, you know, politics jumping in where it shouldn't be. But you know what? At the end of the day, my money's on these teachers and school leaders that are going to do what's right for kids. So that inspires me. That motivates me. That I'm doing great. And I know school reopening is going to be great. We're going to deal with what we have to deal with, but I'm doing well.
I feel so assured, Secretary Cardona. I feel it. I also have to say, I'm obsessed with your pin. I see that you have a correct pride flag. You've got the brown and the black stripe. We've got an inclusive, gorgeous pride flag.
Yes, yes.
So nice to see our Secretary of Education representing something that is just so great. So thank you for that. Okay, are you ready to get into our gorgeous first segment?
I am.
So what role does the Secretary of Education and the Department of Education play in each child's education?
An important one, right? So we kind of help across the country set the tone around what we want to see in our schools with regard to inclusivity, ensuring that all students are learning at high levels, making sure that the systems across the country are giving all students access, making sure that our students with disabilities get the support that they need pretty consistently, right? It can't be that in one part of our country, they get one level of support and in another part, they get a totally different level of support. So some of those federal programs, we're making sure that that's happening. We also look at data and monitoring to see that students are getting adequate education across the country. That's some of the role that we have.
So, love. And then what types of programs does the department fund and support?
Well, we support programs like TRIO programs where it gives first-generation college students an opportunity to explore college a little bit. We provide support for programs for students with disabilities to make sure that there's enough support there. Programs that address inequities, programs that address students getting access to college, career and technical education, for example. You know, in high schools, we need high schools that are giving students an opportunity to see what's out there. So we provide some funding for career and technical education programming, among so many other things.
This is another question I just thought of. Does the Department of Education like stop at high school, or who do the universities and the colleges and community colleges like report to?
Yeah, it's a good question. We also span higher education. We work with higher education across the country. That's 2-year colleges, 4-year colleges. We make sure that we're running the gamut from 3-year-olds all the way to college. And some of the things that we do with our authority is move funds to those different entities. And for example, the Build Back Better agenda that the president is really pushing, and we're hoping, our fingers are crossed, that this makes it through the finish line because it's a transformational shift. 3-year-old programs, 4-year-old programs, pre-K, which we know is so important, the solid foundation. And then access to community college. That's another part of the president's Build Back Better agenda. So we would be the ones to help administer that throughout the country. That's part of our role also, working with states.
Is to kind of like help disseminate whatever funds and programs the administration wants to prioritize, which obviously goes without saying that this administration has a lot of different priorities than the previous one, especially when it comes to inclusivity and the tone that is set for inclusivity generally, which is great. So how does the Department of Education interact with the White House and the other branches of federal government, Department of Health or transportation, stuff like that?
You know, it's really important that we look at ourselves as a piece of this puzzle. We all work together to serve the families, right? The students that I serve and the families that I serve are also served by Health and Human Services and by transportation. So it's really important, and President Biden does it so well. He picked people that know that their job is to work as a part of a team. We cannot work in silos. So the White House really has clear direction. And I'm so fortunate to be Secretary of Education with the Bidens. I mean, having a teacher in the White House really helps, right? Dr. Biden. And they really understand the role of education. So for us, we work closely with the White House to make sure that the president's plan on having education really serve as the foundation of our country's growth comes to fruition. But we also work with Health and Human Services to make sure that our students have access to the right health resources. We work with USDA to make sure kids are being fed and that kids don't go hungry. We work with all different agencies, and we're part of a team.
You know, I have a lot of personal feelings about how things are taught, et cetera, et cetera. I'm like, oh, I feel like I learned so much when I became in my 20s. But I think one thing that I did firmly learn about growing up in, about our Constitution and the way that our government works is that there's a strong separation between federal powers and our state powers, honey. So how does the Department of Education, which is like a federal entity, stay connected to local and state governments and their educators?
You know, I was a commissioner before I was secretary, so I was leading a state education system. And you're right. Ooh. The state education system has more authority over curriculum and specific programming in the schools And local boards do. But at the end of the day, we're all on the same team, right? At the federal level, we really, you know, we use this as a soapbox too, right? To talk about those issues that are really important, like making sure more students have access to college that's affordable, making sure that all students across the country feel welcomed in our schools. So we make sure we're pushing policy there. But we work with our states. We also administer grants. Right. And, you know, in partnership with like CDC, for example, Center for Disease Control and Prevention, we work with them to come up with like a national strategy on safe reopening of schools. And then we work with our states to help them implement it with their local health departments and so on and so forth.
So like each state has their own like Department of Education or like their own like.
Yes.
So which one were you at beforehand?
I was in Connecticut.
Fun. Yes. We love Connecticut. Yeah. Okay, but the head of like the state of Texas's Department of Education doesn't like report to the Department of Education federally, or do they?
No, they have their own state board, or they report to the governor directly. The federal agency works to support states, but also we help drive the civil rights across the country. So that's where we sometimes have to jump in and step in a little bit more. But we also, you know, provide funding to states around things that we believe are really important.
How does like a Department of Education work with Congress? Are you guys like allowed to?
We can. We have conversations regularly. You know, when I visit different states, I usually meet with the elected officials and we have conversations and we visit places where people would be positively impacted by the Build Back Better agenda. So for example, I've been visiting community colleges and talking to students with the legislators there, talking about the impact of community college on their life and really just selling like, this is possible for everyone across the country if we do this right. So yes, we're working with our partners on the Hill and helping them understand what we see from our perspective, me from my perch in education, how this could benefit students and our economy in general.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them ever take their first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Having built a business or two myself, I know just how difficult the whole process is. But Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Yes! From LLC information to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC information plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/JVN. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/JVN. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
Don't you just love when someone looks at you and says, "What were you up to last night?" Well, no matter how late you were up the night before, Lumify Redness Reliever Eye Drops can help your eyes look more refreshed and awake. Lumify dramatically reduces redness in just 1 minute to help your eyes look brighter and whiter for up to 8 hours. No wonder it has over 6,000 five-star reviews on Amazon. You won't believe your eyes. You know you can trust them, though, because they're made by the eye care experts at Bausch & Lomb, and they're backed by 6 clinical studies. Eye doctors trust them, too. They're the number one recommended redness reliever eye drop. The one and only Lumify is an amazing drop that will have people saying something's different about you in the best way possible. So check out LumifyEyes.com to learn more. Okay, I think I understand some of the key players at hand now. So I want to get to know a little bit more about you. Does
sure.
that sound fun? Okay, wait. So what are some standout moments from your own primary and secondary education? Was there any memorable courses, teachers, or enrichment opportunities that led you to find yourself in this very influential role as the Secretary of Education?
You know, thanks for that. So I'm a middle child, you know, first one in my family to go to college, but I grew up, I always say, you know, I was born rich, but I didn't have a lot of material possessions, right? But I had a good family, a supportive unit. And I remember just going to school as a little kid and in second grade, having an art teacher that, you know, he was like, I looked up, the lesson he was teaching was something that was really engaging. I looked up and that's when I recognized, wow, I have a male teacher who's Black teaching me art, which is something that I love. So I always wanted to be like Mr. O'Neill, right? Fast forward like 10 years. Now I'm a junior, senior in high school, and I was doing this mural about, you know, inclusivity and just kind of we're all together. We're all one race, the human race. And I had an art teacher in high school that saw that I was using my art to talk about justice. And she said to me, would you consider a career in teaching? I think you'd be a great art teacher. So she was to me what Kathy Dooley was to you.
Aww.
And yeah, and just connected with me. She saw me and that drove me to want to become a teacher. Those are two experiences at the beginning of my school career and then toward the end of my school career that really made me say, I know I wanted to do public service, but education is where it's at for me.
So, and then what about your time as an educator? And is there any like student that you saw just like grow massively? Or like, is there any like, what are like, for me, I feel like as a hairdresser, it's like when I really fix some like crazy box red, like messed up haircut, I'm like, and the person sees how good it looks. I'm like, this is why I do what I do. Do you have any of those stories as being an educator?
You know, there was a student, I was a principal of a school. I was fairly young as a principal, so I used to connect really well with the kids. And there was this fifth grader who, he was a great kid, always followed the rules, you know, always serious. He became a safety patrol. You remember safety patrols? How important a role that is to patrol the school as a fifth grader. So he was a safety patrol and he was, took that job really serious. And I remember telling him back then, this was like 15, 20 years ago. I said, someday you're going to be the principal of this school. Again, I was the principal. He was like, oh, thank you. You know, cause he made sure kids walked in the hallway, not run. He just told me yesterday he was, appointed the assistant principal of that same school.
Oh, so that's cute.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, things like that. And I still have students that I taught like in the 90s and the late 90s that still connect with me and their parents. And that connection is still there because, you know, you've seen them grow. And, so many powerful stories of students who's, you know, you touch their lives, but they really touch yours.
Oh, that's cute. For some reason, when you very first started telling me that story, I thought that you were about to be like, and now that person is Michael Phelps. But that wasn't exactly where I thought they were going to like turn out to be this like super famous person or something. I was like, really? That's like my daydream with her. But your story is even better. It's even better. But I'm just saying, I had to tell you that like I had an intrusive thought came in and I thought that's where you were going. But
that's awesome.
That.
I'll be honest with you though. He swims really well, this kid.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. My intuition was like almost kind almost of had there. Like, a, yeah, not, but not really as it turns out. Who knew? So you've been in education for since the 90s and you have occupied so many different spaces within the educational system. I mean, you've literally risen to like one of the most, if not the top job in like all of the education system in all of the United States. Have things changed? I just feel like now it's like there's a literal pandemic and people are literally not wanting, like, we can't even agree on reality. Are we going to make it, honey?
We're going to be fine. Our kids are fine. My kids are, I have a 15-year-old and a 16-year-old. They're good. It's Thursday. Tomorrow's going to be another day. We're fine. You know, they're going to be good. We're worried about it because we know what it was like when we were growing up and we're comparing it. They're fine. And as a matter of fact, when I'm around high schoolers, when I'm around middle schoolers, I have more confidence in our future because they're good. They're good. They're more tolerant. They're more accepting. They're more forward. It's the adults sometimes that we have issues. We're good. The kids are good. They're fine. We have an agenda that's transformational in education. We have an agenda that's trying to provide pre-K for 3 and 4 year olds. Talk about closing gaps. We have an agenda that's talking about college for everyone. Talk about economic improvements for our country, because that's such good to talk about. So my eyes are on the prize. Equity is, you know, that's critically important. And we could do that while unifying the country. We want to build back better. We don't want our school system to be what they were when we shut them down. We want it better. And we have a president that gets it, putting money there to make sure that the schools have the resources that they need to thrive.
So I love that story. I feel like the older I'm getting, the more I'm realizing, and I actually need to write down agenda because I want to come back to that agenda underline. So I love that story. I feel like the older I get, the more I'm realizing that like a binary way of thinking is just like not serving me well, probably pretty much anywhere. Obviously, I'm a non-binary person. Right. And I also, someone was telling me, my friend Allie, it's like, this is the year of both and. And my friend Alok also says this. And so the point is that why I underlined agenda is like, what's the agenda? I want to hear more about this gorgeous agenda, honey. It's Build Back Better. And then what else? Like, well, so we're Building Back Better. We're doing pre-K for the children and we're doing free community college for people under, what's that story? What's all the stuff that we're doing?
It's all in there. In terms of the agenda, you know, I think we can talk about community college for all. We can talk about increase in Pell Grants, which means up to $1,800 more for college for anyone that wants to attend. We know graduates of community college earn up to 21% more than high school graduates. So this is good for the economy. You know, we talk about closing achievement gaps, right? And opportunity gaps. Well, if we give good quality programming to 3- and 4-year-olds, we're leveling the playing field before they get into gaps, right? So there's a lot there. But we could talk about that, or we could talk about the fact that we have a president that finally, I've been in education over 20 years, 23, 24 years. We have a president that understands the transformational power of education and investing in education. So, you know, yes, this pandemic is providing a challenge, but you know, when we opened up the show, I talked about how excited I was. We have an opportunity here to really transform what education can be. We have an opportunity to make sure that our schools are places where all students want to be, where they feel supported, where we don't have to have bake sales for music programs, where we don't have to you know, cut the arts or limit opportunities for students, because we have a president and a team that understands the important role of education. And I'm so fortunate to be a part of that system that can really usher in this new wave of education across the country.
But then we're still going to have bake sales because they're tasty, but because we wanted to, not for
because
the
arts. We love cupcakes.
Yes.
We love cupcakes. Yes.
Let's face it, I'm not going to stop treating myself anytime soon, and neither should you. But what I should stop doing is paying for me time with whatever random credit card is in my wallet. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times the points on your spending. So what could future you do with better rewards? Honey, is it like a gorgeous free flight that you would have had to have paid for, but honey, you're saving that flight money? Is it a gorgeous room upgrade? Is it like a gorgeous like 2-bedroom suite instead of a 1-bedroom suite? So you're like in-laws or like your friend could stay over there in that room, so you don't have to like hear them doing whatever with what they're doing in your guys' room? Is it like really adulting? Oh, I love adulting. And you know what else I love? Is not waiting to make smart financial decisions. I also love paying my credit cards off in full every month because, like, yes, good credit. So let's, like, try to do that and, like, making responsible decisions, which we love. But anyway, don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
I'm not going to stop treating myself anytime soon, but I should stop paying for me time with whatever credit card is in my wallet. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending. Some even offer 10 times points on your spending. So what could future you do with better rewards? A free flight? Sign me up. Room upgrades? Yes, please. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet. Finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
Okay, now I have another question that's kind of same vein, but different way, more concise, more clear, more gorgeous. So because you've been a student, you've been an educator, and you've literally become the secretary of the U.S. Department of Education, is there any, what has it been like to reflect on these moments from your position as Secretary of Education and potentially be able to change them for the next generation? So as to say, you have experienced the education system, and now you are the head of it. When you were growing up, was there anything that you really wanted to fundamentally change? And what has been able to happen as a Secretary of Education that you are like, we are on the road, we are doing that?
Yeah. You know, when I was I mentioned before I was the first in my family to go to college. So, and I went to a technical high school. I loved it. I studied automotive for 4 years. You know, we came from a big family of cousins. So my oldest cousin went to a technical high school and like little ducks, we just followed them in. Right. Oh. So I'm over here studying how to take apart engines and I loved it. I said, well, maybe I'll do that. But as I said before, I had an art teacher that really influenced me and pushed me toward education. But anyway, the reason why I share that is because when I got to college, I was the first in my family. I didn't know what to do, what classes to take. I was like a fish out of water. And it shouldn't be that hard for students to be able to access college in a way that's a seamless through line, right? Between high school and college. That shouldn't be, I shouldn't be a counterexample. You follow? I shouldn't be a counterexample. So I am thrilled that we're going to be super aggressive, making sure that students as early as middle school start thinking about, hey, what opportunities exist for you? What do you want to do? How do you tinker with this or go get an experience over there, do an internship over there so that when you're getting ready for college, it's not even optional. You can choose to do it if you want, or if you want to work, join the workforce, you're going to have skills. Like, we need to close those man-made gaps between high school and college, so it's not so foreign to so many of our students who are first-gen students like I was. You know, I wasn't that kid that could go to my parents and say, hey, which courses should I take so I could graduate in 3.5 years, or which internship? So our system needs to evolve better to be a better support for our students so they can have access like everyone else.
You know, you said something at being in the interview that you said you were born rich, but not because of money. And I think really what you're talking about is social capital. You had people in your life, and sometimes it can be a parent or a family member, but could also be a teacher or an educator, or someone that really does, you know, steer you towards that direction to say, like, you should take this course, or you should do this, or you should do that. I remember I had a teacher in fourth grade, Mrs. Koshelski. She was like, you're an entertainer. You're meant to be an actor. And then I was like, no, I'm too scared. And I was like too scared of rejection. But ultimately, she was kind of right. And so, you know, teachers are so important, and they're important to everyone, but they really are so important to young kids. They are important to helping everyone realize all of their potential. And it's really about giving people their opportunity to live through to get the American dream, you know? And I think, you know, so many of us are realizing like, oh, the American dream isn't everything we always thought, but we always have a chance to make it better. And we always have a chance to make, you know, to make this country a more equitable place and a country that really does have equity. Which is great. So it sounds like what you're saying is that growing up for you, really what your life was post high school was not something was being prepared for. We weren't thinking about it enough. Weren't talking about it early on enough. And that's something that you guys are really being able to do now, which is amazing. So what else do you think is possible for American education, and how can we all get there?
So some of the things, you know, access, right? Access to higher education. I'm really excited about what we're going to do. When I say evolve our high schools, you know, I want to make sure that our schools are connected to what the college and the workforce needs are, right? So that our schools evolve to what the needs of the workforce are, and the professions are, so that our students are able not only to embrace higher education learning, but also be prepared to have a very lucrative future in whatever they choose to do. So I'm excited about those connections that we're going to be able to make to give more students access, but also to connect them into fields that exist. You know, we have to make sure that we're preparing our students for the jobs of tomorrow and the jobs that haven't even been invented yet, right? So we need critical thinkers, and we need to make sure that, you know, there's a better through line between our K-12 system and our higher ed system. I'm really excited about that.
And how are you guys doing that? Tell us more about it.
Sure. So we're really going to be focusing on career and technical education pathways that can start as early as middle school, right? If you talk about, like, let's say, the technology field, multimedia field, or healthcare fields, let's give students exposure to that earlier so that they can explore careers there. And, you know, we played around last year with hybrid learning, where you're in the school sometimes and then you're home sometimes. Why not just take that model and say, you spend 3 days in the school and you spend 2 days out in the hospital interning, learning about radiology by standing next to a radiologist and helping out. So being more open and thinking about how we're giving students opportunities to learn by doing, that's exciting. And then Why shouldn't those high school programs give you college credits if they're connected to the curriculum in college so that a student has a leg into college already and feels like I'm already a part of this college community before I even graduate? And then once they're in the college is connected to the workforce so that when the students a year into college, they're already thinking about how they're going to be employed with this major employer in the region that's, you know, high paying jobs, high skilled jobs. We have an opportunity to really evolve that. And our offices at the Department of Education now are working aggressively to make sure that we can make that happen. And again, if Pell increases and if we provide community colleges for all, community college access for all, the exponential growth in that goal is going to be it's going to be like nothing we've ever seen before in education, where we have not only our students leaving high schools, but our adults that want to go back and reskill, going back and reskilling and going and joining the workforce and feeling good about themselves. Let me tell you a quick story, Jonathan. I was in Michigan about 2 months ago, and we were talking about like, so this president's plan, what does it mean for you? And I had this lady, she was about 60 years old. She said, I have health issues and this pandemic really made me rethink life. And if I can have access to Pell Grants, I'm going to go back to college. I'm going to get into a nursing program, and I'm going to help people for the rest of my life. Because after COVID, I rediscovered myself and I want to give back now. We have that potential across the country if we move this forward and we give access to college for not only our high school students, but for people across the country.
So yeah, that is just so interesting. And I feel like I want to hear more. So the whole Build Back Better agenda, is there one for kind of like every department?
So we have, the Build Back Better agenda really combines American Family Plan, which is really aimed at supporting the whole family. There's child tax credits there. As I mentioned, education, healthcare support for families too. We know the American Jobs Plan was really about jobs and infrastructure. So what we're doing now is, the work that they did over the last couple of weeks to move the infrastructure bill forward, we're also trying to push more for families, for schools. And that's what the Build Back Better agenda is. And we're working really hard because we know people across the country would benefit from it. I visited over 17, 18 different states. And I've talked to students like the one that I mentioned. Her name is Ruth. I got to mention her by name. She inspired me. People like Ruth would benefit from it. People who have 2 and 3 year olds would benefit from having them in programs that are high quality. So we're really pushing this Build Back Better agenda because it's more than just a bunch of, strategies to help families. It's transformational to make sure that our education system is top of the world. You know, we have other countries catching up. We have to raise the bar, up the ante a little bit to make sure that we win the future, as the president says. We win the future.
And so the major prongs for Building Back Better in the education department is 2 to 3 year old like pre-K programs, right?
Universal pre-kindergarten programs. That's high quality for 3 and 4 year olds.
Yes, universal pre-K. And then it's the Pell Grants for everyone that wants to go back to college.
Yeah, Pell Grants for students that want to go back to college or high school students, a total of $1,800 additional, which is significant for students that are debating whether or not they can afford to go to college. And we know college isn't just tuition. It's fees. It's making sure they have a place to stay. Books are expensive. So it's taking care of some of those incidentals that are determinant factors whether or not people continue their education.
And what about the free community college thing? Isn't that part of it too?
Oh yeah. It's access to community college for students across the country. You know, it's adding 4 more years of education, really. 2 at the back end, with the community college, and 2 at the front end with the pre-K. So,
but how would people access that? Do you like need to live in the state for a year? Do you need to like, what are like the things that people got to do if they want to like go to community college under this program?
Well, it would be across the country. So we would work with the states. Some states have models already where students have access to it, or governors have done a great job prioritizing college access. For example, Michigan, I know they've done a lot of great work, Governor Whitmer over there, trying to give access to college already. So we're going to work with those states. Some are further along in this process than others, but we want to make it so that students across the country have access to 2 years of community college.
What about governors that like aren't so eager? Are you able to make inroads with those types of people to like for community college stuff?
we're on the same team. You know, we don't agree on everything. We don't agree on mitigation strategies. I tend to lean on what the science says and CDC says. I think we all agree we want access for our students to have a higher education because there's earning potential for these students that goes back into the economy. It makes economic sense. When you have a student graduating with a higher skill set, they can get higher paying jobs and they can contribute to the economy better. So it works.
But where are we in like that whole, you know, because that was like a big thing. I mean, people were really excited about like free community college. Like, where are we in like people being able to, like, is it going to happen in the next 4 years? Will it happen before like 2024?
I'm hoping it happens before 2022. We're working really hard right now to push the Build Back Better agenda. And we have our colleagues and our friends over on the Hill discussing it. And, you know, that's why it's really important we get this message out. This is good for everyone.
Okay, and I know that you're really busy and sought after because you're the literal secretary of the Department of Education, but I need you to just answer these last two questions kind of rapid fire because I think I only have you for 3 more minutes, but I really want to get them asked.
Sure.
How can we ensure, and this is kind of a big one, but you can do it. I know you can. How can we ensure that students are supported holistically in social, emotional, and mental health? And why is that so important?
Listen, we're in the middle of a pandemic and we can talk about what they miss in reading and math. Students miss their communities. They miss their second family. Schools are second families. You know this. And for so many students, including our transgender students, they need that network of support that they have in their schools. And reopening schools, that's why it's so important. When we reopen schools, we're thinking about improving social emotional learning, improving access to mental health supports. The pandemic affected a lot of us. It affected all of us, but it affected some of us more. There's students that dealt with loss in their family. So we need to make sure that we're embracing our students, showing them love and giving them a nurturing, welcoming environment to learn and grow.
Everyone deserves, you know, health and mental health and stability, you know, social, emotional, mental health. But it's especially true for children because they have longer. And like the stuff that happens in your kid, you're dealing with it for the rest of your life. So we really want to make sure that we're showing up for young people. The last question is, and you kind of led me to it, is how can we prepare students to return to school after 18 months of remote learning, of hybrid learning? This has been such a difficult time for everyone. Do you have any advice for parents, specifically parents who may be in states that have been a little bit more adversarial? Like if you live in a state where you really would wish that you could be more with school guidelines than they're not, or if you're just even wanting more support, more resources for your child, for your student, for whatever reason, how can the U.S. Department of Education help them?
Well, we have a return to school roadmap that really lays it out. So check it out, ed.gov/roadmap. It's number one, you have to make sure that you're telling parents and showing students that they're going to be safe, not only physically safe from the pandemic, but emotionally safe, that they're going to be walking into a welcoming environment that embraces all students for who they are. That's number one. Number two, providing that social emotional support that we talked about, that you got to meet kids where they are. You can't come in and say, okay, we missed a year and a half, so let's open up our books to page. You got to meet them where they are. And number three, make sure you have the supports because they did miss out on instruction. So meet them where they are academically, provide incremental support, but just nurture them, embrace them. Check out the Return to School Roadmap for more information.
Ah, that was a great answer. And then I think, I know that I said this, but I just want a really tiny one. Is there anything that people can do just because they are so heated and people are just like, so like, about the kids right now? Anything that people can do to just calm down a little? Maybe anything that you see effective that people are doing to just... Do you ever see people doing like something really effective to calm down?
People are stressed. You know what? Seriously, be around students. Like, let's take their lead, man. I told you this before in the interview. I'm confident. I'm enthusiastic. I feel so excited about school reopening because I'm around students all the time. Just be around the kids and listen to them. Take their lead. The adults will chill a little bit if we just follow the lead of our students. That's my advice.
Secretary Miguel Cardona, thank you so much. We appreciate your time. You're amazing. Thank you so much for all of your work. We appreciate you so much. And thanks for coming on Getting Curious.
Thank you, Jonathan. Nice to see you. Take care.
You've been listening to Getting Curious with me, Jonathan Van Ness. My guest this week was Secretary Miguel Cardona. You'll find links to his work in the episode description of whatever you're listening to the show on. Our theme music is Freak by Quinn. Thank you so much to her for letting us use it. If you enjoyed our show, honey, introduce a friend. Show them how to find that little podcast button. It's a tricky little button on your phone sometimes. It's like, where is it? How do I download? What do I do? Just show your friends.
or even just say, I love getting curious, who knows? And then maybe show them how to subscribe, which is what I just said, which is why maybe I shouldn't ad-lib on my scripts, but sometimes we go for it and it works and sometimes it doesn't. Who knew? You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at CuriousWithJBN. Our socials are run and curated by Emily Bosick. Our editor is Andrew Carson. Getting Curious is produced by me, Erica Ghetto, and Emily Bosick.